simply come. Longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you.
Coming back to the heart of worship. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. This world, you can have all this world, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
For this opportunity to deliver your word, give me the strength to deliver it with conviction, with honesty, with love, with patience. Let your words flow through me and not be my words. In your mighty name, amen. So Beth asked me yesterday if I had anything stirring inside me, and I've been fighting with this word for about 6 to 7 months. So I finally decided, you know, it's the right time to finally give it up to God and give do what God's asked me to do. I was looking through this book, Jesus Today. It's written by the same person who put out Jesus Calling. And I found something that I really, really liked. It says, "Humble yourself under my mighty hand. You are well aware of my powerful hand working in your life experiences. Sometimes you feel weighed down by my sovereign will, trapped by circumstances you cannot change. The temptation at such times is to grow impatient with me and my ways. but this will only frustrate you further. And your negative feelings will pull you down. Your impatience will also alienate you from me. When you are feeling weighed down by your circumstances, change your perspective by looking up to me. Muster the courage to say, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. Submit to me in my ways in your life, even though you long to break free. This protects you from fighting against me, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Instead of engaging in this battle you cannot win, use your energy to cope with the situation and learn from it. Trust that I will lift you up, relieve your sufferings in my perfect, wisely appointed time. And under 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then she's also gotten written down under Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And then also on the James 4:6, God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, I've been really fighting with forgiveness, and I've fought with this all my life. And, it's funny that Beth asked me this yesterday to deliver an award. And, you know, I told her forgiveness. You know, she wanted a topic and told her forgiveness. And I went out, did the soup last night, and got home about 1 o'clock, turned on TV. And I decided to just scroll all the way down, watch something on, I don't know, like 327, something way down the list, church. Under all the church stuff. And it was there was an Irish pastor, Friar David, something, I don't know what he was. And he was actually, it's amazing how God works, because he was actually talking about forgiveness and how, he said Jesus' love is a forgiving love and that God forgives, you know. And the hardest thing for me to do is to love. The second hardest thing for me to do is forgive. And to, you know, to love and forgive at the same time, you know, it's really easy to just walk away from it and to not even deal with it, not even face it. And so he was talking about that, and, you know, he's talking about Judas and how Judas was, after he realized what he had done and how he, you know, betrayed Jesus, he felt so remorseful that he hung himself, because he didn't believe that God's love for him would overshadow what he had done. He felt that, you know, what he had done was way beyond forgiveness. Yet God doesn't look at it like that. God says, you know, if you forgive, you know, if you ask for forgiveness and come to him, he will forgive you. So, we all have issues where we get into arguments with our friends, arguments, you know, we hold grudges, we fight with people, and we can't let go of these grudges and arguments. And, you know, I don't know, how many of us can say that we have never had ill will towards anyone, that we have never held a grudge against another, or have never got our feelings hurt by something somebody has done. You know, a lot of us, when I, in particular, got my feelings hurt when I found out what Jerry had done. You know, and a lot of us did. You know, and we need to, and for me to ask for forgiveness because, you know, I got my feelings hurt, it's not Jerry's job to ask for forgiveness for me. It's my job to forgive him. It's my job to say, you know what, I forgive you for what you did. You know, it's not a selfish thing. You know, we get into this emotions where it's all feelings on the line. It's all selfishness. It's what we believe, and we think that it has to do with us. You know, it's, you know, he did this to me. You know, he took this away from me. I had this going for my, I had my life in going one direction, down one path, and he took it from me. That's not the way we're supposed to look at it. We're supposed to look at it as, you know what? He fell. It's not my problem. You know, I'm not the one who has to, you know, be accountable for what happened. It's Jerry. It's Beth. It's not Jerry and Beth and Annie that I have to say, you guys need to tell me you're sorry for what you did. You know, a lot of times we get so angry about the hurt and the lies and the deceit. Yet, what really hurts us is the truth sometimes. We, you know, a lot of times we don't want to hear that truth. We would rather just say, you know what, why couldn't you guys just keep it to yourselves? Why couldn't you just, everything was going fine until you decided to throw an atom bomb in the middle of church. You know, we look at it that way. It's like, you know, and we get our feelings hurt. And so, you know, it's like a giant wedgie, you know. It's like Jerry came along, grabbed my underpants, and pulled them up. And now, I'm just all bunched up and angry. And until I ask for forgiveness, you know, I'm not going to be comfortable. we get so bitter about it and forget that, you know, it wasn't done on purpose. It wasn't like people go up to us and say, you know what, I hate your guts. I'm cutting you off just because I can, and I'm going to make sure you're angry for the rest of your life. You know, I'm going to hold this grudge against you, and I'm going to just sit there and I'm going to gloat over it. I'm going to say, nee, 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 nah. You know, I'm going to, you know, it's not about us when we hold a grudge. You know, it's about us forgiving why this happens. You know, what's great about when Jesus died and came back to life, you know, he came back new. That's what he did for us when he died on the cross. You know, he took our sins and wiped them clean. And that's what we should do every time we ask for forgiveness. We need to take our anger, our frustrations, our unforgiveness, and we need to throw them out the window and say, you know, I give them to God. But, you know, we can do that, but, you know, a lot of times we throw around words like, I love you, you know, I'm sorry, and it don't mean anything. You know, it's like if you have a football team on paper, and you have the best wide receivers, the best quarterback, best running back, best defense, and they look great on paper, and you're like top of the division, and when they play, they stink, and they go 0-16. On paper, it looks great, but if you can't pull it through in the game time, if you don't mean what how you look, then it's worth diddly. You might as well just throw it out the window and, you know, call it quits. And that's what we do sometimes when we tell our kids, you know, you need to tell so-and-so you're sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I don't care. I'm sorry. Fine. I'm going to say it. And that's what we do sometimes. We go, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jerry, for being angry. I'm sorry, Joe, for being angry. Sorry, Jason. I'm not going to see you for a month and a half anyway, so I don't care. I'm sorry. You know, we do that all the time. You know, we just throw out I'm sorrys and I love yous. And I forgive you. And we don't mean it. And unless we actually mean what we say, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I've been reading to help my marriage out with Leona. I've been reading this book called Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And he says it this way. He says, I am amazed by how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday. Amen. And, you know, we get so caught up in holding those grudges that it just affects our everyday life. You know, and there's been times that I've gotten my feelings hurt by somebody, and now it's just totally destroyed my life because I can't talk to them. I can't walk next to them. They try to talk to me, and I don't want to acknowledge them. You know, and when we do that, you know, that's not what God wants. That's not edifying each other. That's putting each other down. That's like a kick in the, you know what? I mean, God wants us to be truthful and honest when we tell people we love them, when we tell them I forgive you, when we do things in Christ. We need to be Christ-like. You know, when we throw around, I'm a Christian, or do you act like a Christian? And you know what? Lately, I haven't been. You know, I've held unforgiveness towards Jerry. I've held it towards Joe, Andy, Beth, Jeff, my wife, my parents, my kids. And so, you know, for me to really be Christ-like and be what God wants me to do, be, I need to give it up to God and say, you know, I forgive. And I actually mean I forgive. You know, in Luke 23:34, it says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they, you know, and that's Jesus being hung on the cross, you know, and he had all the reason in the world to, you know, sit there and he could yell at the Romans, he could yell at the Jews, he could yell at Pharisees and blame them for everything that happened. But, you know, his last words to God was, forgive them, for they do not know what they did, you know. And that's what we need to do. We need to forgive. I mean, that's what Jesus says. And in Mark 11:25-26, it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, every time that I hold ill feeling towards somebody and don't want to forgive them, I'm telling God, heck with you. You know, I don't care. I'm not listening to his word. I'm not doing what he asked me to do. You know, that's the big, you know, that's me spitting on his face. You know, also, in Colossians 3:13-17, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, we are called to lift up our brothers and sisters and to forgive them, not to, you know, call them names and hold grudges against them. And, you know, not, I mean, if I don't forgive you for something you did, then I'm just going to keep on holding that grudge, and I'm going to keep making excuses why I'm holding that grudge. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to do what the devil does, and I'm going to tell myself how I should feel, how I should, you know, how I should treat others, you know, instead of how God tells me to treat others, through love and through forgiveness and through edifying them. I was reading Philemon, and Philemon 1, 4 through 20. And it's about Paul's letter to Philemon, who was one of Paul's guys he had helped out and helped with the church in Colossus. And he had written this letter to Philemon about his runaway slave, Onesimus, who Paul had met and while he was in prison in Rome. And Onesimus was a runaway slave. And so So I'll go ahead and read this. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, hoping that he would forgive Onesimus. I knew that. Onesimus for running away. And, you know, it's amazing how Paul writes this, because it's the same thing God asks of us. You know, he asks us to lift up our brothers. Don't hold ill will towards them. Don't hold grudges against them, for they may be your greatest ally. God
can do anything, and he gave us free will for a reason. So that we won't first do something that we don't want to do. God doesn't want you to come to him out of forcefulness and be angry while you're up in heaven. Because, you know, there's no anger in heaven. You know, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to want to be there. You know, it's like being at church and being a kid going to church. You know, I don't want my kids to hate me for bringing them. I want them to enjoy being at church. When I come to church, I want to enjoy being here. I want to be able to observe the word. I don't want to push it away. I don't want to be angry about it. And if I'm here because of that, I shouldn't even be here. I should be gone. There's no point. There's no point in living then. If you're angry about what you want to do, I mean, It's like any job you have. If you're angry about it, don't do it. And it's the same thing Paul says. You know, Paul says to him, you know, I can force you to take him back. I force you to forgive him, but I don't want that. I want you to want to forgive him. I want your heart right when you say, I forgive you. I am taking you as my brother in Christ. I want you as my friend. I want you as my ally. I want your knowledge. And I want what you can bring to the table. You know, and that's what we need when we hold grudges against somebody with, you know, our friends and our family, you know. We want that. We want that help. We want that love. We want to be able to lean on that shoulder if we need help. You know, we don't want to not have it there. You know, we don't want to one day get up and nothing's there for us because we push so many people away from us that nobody wants to be around you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17-20, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, when we hold grudges towards others and unforgiveness, you know, you may not think that people see it, but, you know, people do. People know when you've got unforgiveness towards somebody. People can, you know, people aren't stupid. God's not stupid. You know, he knows when you have anger towards somebody. He knows when you don't forgive him. He knows when you would rather, you know, cut that whole piece of your life out of it, you know. But God made you new, you know. When you took Jesus Christ and God to be your Savior, you know, you were born new. And that's what we need to do every day. When we hold some things, we need to take it to him and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I was angry with you for what you did. And, you know, even if you were in the right and I was in the wrong, or if I was in the right and you were in the wrong, I forgive you. I ask for you to forgive me because, you know, I want you as my friend. I want you as my ally. You know, we have greater battles to fight than to fight each other. In Ephesians 4:31-32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Jesus did this for us. You know, he doesn't hold bitterness towards us. He doesn't hold rage and anger towards us. He doesn't brawl with us. He doesn't slander us. You know, he loves us. He's compassionate. He forgives us for what we do. He gives us mercy and grace. You know, that's our God. You know, for us to hold judgment upon somebody else, that's not my job. That's God's job. You know, it's not my job. I'm not always right. I'm not perfect. I'm going to sin. I'm going to hold grudges. But it's for me to take it to God. It's not for me to go around and backtalk them, go to other people and say, you know what, so and so did to me. You know, you shouldn't be friends with that person. They're going to do the same thing to you. That's not for me to do. You know, that's for God to sit there and go, you know, that's my job. I'm the supreme judge. I'm the one who's supposed to judge. You know, when I go to heaven's gate and go to the judgment seat, I don't want God to say, well, you had this judgment to this person. You didn't forgive this person. You didn't do this. You know, you held judgment against this person. You may have done this. You may have saved 200 people's lives. You may have brought 100 people to Christ. You know, you may have done this. But you know what? Those three items at the bottom of the list where you couldn't forgive your brother for that one item, that's not me. That's not why I love you. That's not why I'm here for you. That's just not right. You know, God doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, God doesn't say, you know, if I punch my brother or if I kill my friend, he doesn't say, well, killing your friend is worse than punching your brother. He says, you know, they're one and the same. Whether you kill your friend or punch your brother or shoot up your whole family, it's God looks at it and says, it's a sin. You know, it's not right. And he just says the same thing about unforgiveness. It's a sin. You know, he forgave us, and he asked us to forgive others. And so that's what I have. So I'll go ahead and pray.